We're continuing in this series, and it's good news for the not so good. I'll talk about that in a minute. The title of the message is The Fine Art of Being Led, and I had to laugh at myself because I realized that I put in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 21, and all I needed to do was put in 1 Corinthians 4 because we're going to look at the whole chapter. That is the whole chapter. So let's start with that. This, then, is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. And at that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign so that we might also reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags, we are brutally treated, we are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I become your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with that which I teach everywhere in the church. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing, and then I will find out how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with the rod of discipline, or shall I come in love and with gentle spirit? There's a lot there, and we'll unpack that in just a little bit. But it's the only way to really handle chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians is to just take the whole thing in. So today we're going to talk about the role of a leader, and we'll talk about who is really in charge of what happens in your life. For the first three chapters, Paul has said again and again, stop boasting about human leaders. Stop arguing with one another about it. Stop defining yourself by whose fan you are. Paul, yeah, amen. I like it, right? We can all say amen to that. Paul knew this kind of adulation could lead nowhere good. He understood the conditional, fickle nature of typical followers. That's what they do. They see things like, you're our hero. We want to hang on your every word. The only thing we ask in return is that you do all the heavy lifting of discipleship. And let us watch in comfort. That's all we ask. Oh, yeah. And we expect you to be perfect in everything all the time, by the way. Right? When it comes to cowards, there's not much difference between being their hero and being their there's not much difference between being their hero and being their entertainer. And I keep going back. You've heard sports analogies through this thing, but I can't help but think of the comparison with football fans and their relationship with the team and their attitude towards certain players on the team. It's a great way to think about it. When a team wins, right, these fans will not only share in the glory, they'll share in the credit, right? If you let them, we won the game. We're in the playoffs. We're on our way to the Super Bowl. We. But when a quarterback throws an interception or a linebacker, right, he misses a tackle, he's no longer their hero. He's now an overpaid bum. And when the team loses, the attitude is right, they let me down. Because it's their job to make me feel like a winner. When we define our loyalties according to this teacher or that worship leader or that church or this church or that denomination, we can very easily slip into the entertainment mindset. You're the performer. We're the spectators. It's your job to do something brilliant each Sunday. It's our job to sit and watch and maybe take notes while we grade whatever you have for us on that particular day. This is the attitude that Paul is warning against, right? He goes into great deal in verses 8 through 13, which really are dripping with sarcasm. Listen to 8. I'll start there. Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign. We are fools for Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored. We are dishonored. And then in verse 14 he says, I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Here he wants them to understand that the Christian life is not about aligning yourself with this group or that group. It's not about participating in certain aspects of a subculture where you read the same book and listen to the same music and use the same phrases in conversations all the time. The Christian life is about uniting with Jesus Christ, right? In his death and being transformed into Jesus' likeness. Not as a spectator in the stands, right? But as a soldier on the field of battle. Now, we need leaders in our lives, you know, clearly. It goes without saying we can't make this journey all on our own. But the question is, how do we determine who will be the leaders that we turn to? What will be their role in our everyday lives? And what is our responsibility to those who lead us? You know, we never outgrow the need for leadership, at least in some areas of our life. So today, as we study 1 Corinthians 4, we'll look at how to relate to leaders in every area of endeavor, right? Church, work, personal development, spiritual parenting, marriage, financial management, and on. This applies to every single aspect of our lives. So in order to master the fine art of being led It's up to you to do these three things. And the first one is designate for yourself leaders who lead by example. I use the word designate because it's important to remember that when it comes to being led by others, it's all your choice. You decide which kind of leader you're willing to follow. You determine the criteria. This is necessary because when all is said and done, you're the one who has to live with the outcome. From time to time, you encounter people who try to appoint themselves as your advisor or the keeper of your calendar or the boss or even your dictator. And you have to learn to stand your ground, because a leader is not someone who controls what you do. A leader is more than just a guide. Leaders don't tell you what to do as much as they show you what to do. This is why Paul's words in verse 16, they're very significant. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Right? At one time or another, we've all heard this. Do as I say, not as I do. Right? We've all heard that one. And we know how ineffective those words are and that style of leadership is. Paul's approach was exactly the opposite. Follow my example. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And that comes from Philippians 4:9. Follow my example, he says. Of course, many of the believers Paul wrote to had the advantage of knowing Paul personally, right? So they could follow his example in great detail because they had seen firsthand how he lived his life. Today, we don't have the Apostle Paul personally available to follow. But we have others in our lives whose examples we can imitate, at least in certain areas. Of course, you'll never find anyone who is perfect. But when you know someone whose life seems to be working well in a particular area, learn what you can from them in that area of their lives. Do what they do so that you you can see the same results for yourself. We also have people in our lives whose example we know not to follow, at least in certain areas. Not long ago, a friend of mine said, "I love my father. I am grateful for all that he has done, but I cannot follow his example as a husband. He was not attentive to my mother's needs or her feelings." This young man had come to the realization that he could love his father and even respect his father in many areas, but when it came to learning how to be a good husband, he knew he needed to look for another example to follow. It's also important to understand that looking to our leaders as examples to follow means that you're no longer spectators merely watching them. We're on that field of battle, per se. When it becomes your aim to imitate a leader, you find out just how hard it is to do what they do. For a spectator, right, everything looks easy. Hitting a ball or a baseball looks easy. Throwing a pass looks easy. Teaching a class or writing a book, or making a movie. It all looks easy when you're a spectator, looking from the stands. That's why Paul says, in effect, follow my example. I'm not just going to tell you how to do it. I will show you how to do it. To master the fine art of being led, you first have to designate the right kind of leader, the kind of leader who's willing to lead by example. And here's the second step. Develop for yourself a system of accountability. Every person needs to be accountable to someone. It's one of the essential checks and balances that keep us focused on keeping our priorities straight. Paul understood that the letter he was sending to the Corinthian church wasn't by itself enough, right? He couldn't just send the letter. They needed more. They needed a human connection to help them be accountable. So he said in verse 17, "For this reason, I have sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful to the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." Timothy's role during his visit was to provide both leadership and accountability. There were many areas where the Corinthian believers that they needed to improve. Timothy could help them improve by giving them the teachings and guidance that they needed. He could also help them evaluate and measure their progress. Just as you choose those who examples you will follow, you choose those whom you will be accountable, right? Occasionally, someone may try to bulldoze their way into your life, assume the responsibility for evaluating your progress, as in, I'm making it my job to tell you how you are doing. This kind of arrangement, it rarely works. For one simple reason, most often the individual who would hold others accountable, right, aren't themselves accountable to anyone else. They just live their lives like they're in charge of the rest of the world. And so I'm saying, make sure that those to whom you are accountable are themselves accountable to others. Everyone needs to be accountable to someone. Actual accountability often works best when it's reciprocal, right? When we are accountable to one another. Timothy was coming to Corinth not as an apostle, not as the final voice of authority in every aspect of their lives. He was coming as one of them. As a leader, he himself was accountable to Paul. He was there to help them grow in their walk with Jesus Christ. If you want to master the art, the fine art of being led, develop for yourself a system of accountability. And here's the third step. Demand for yourself measurable results. This is a case where we, you know, don't demand results from others. We demand them, those results, from ourselves. We're not sitting in the stands as a spectator saying, I want to watch you win the game, right? We're not sitting in the pew saying, entertain me. Instead, we're on the field of battle. We're evaluating our own performance, and we're holding ourselves to a higher standard. We live in truly a finger-pointing culture. Right? Social media posts can be summed up as, well, let me tell you what this person or this group of people did wrong. The implication is, right, notice how much better I am than they are. We are a culture eager to share our opinions online. We have yet to learn that having an opinion is not the same thing as being informed. And being informed is not the same thing as being involved. It's not enough to merely say what's on your mind. God expects us to follow through on what we say. Notice what Paul said in verse 20. For the kingdom is but of power. What kind of power? Paul says in verse 11, to this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. That's the kind of power he is talking about. The power to bless those who curse you. The power to withstand persecution. The power to keep passing, you know, pressing on when the whole world seems to be against you. There's no amount of talk that can measure up to that kind of power. I want to share with you what William Barclay wrote here. Jesus never said, "By their words they shall know them." He said, "By their fruits you shall know them." He said then, "The world is full of talk about Christianity, but one deed is worth a thousand words." As we submit to the leadership of others and make ourselves accountable to someone, to another, right? We need to ask ourselves, is my Christian life a demonstration of God's power? Am I seeing results in my efforts, or do I need to back up and try again, reevaluate? If you want to master the fine art of being led, demand results from the process. Expect to see God's power at work in your life. As I mentioned last week, Paul closed chapter 3 by saying, "All things belong to you." In other words, everything that exists to serve you in the direction of God's holy calling on your life. Whether it is Apollos or the Apostle Peter, which I think most of you know is Cephas, right? Or even Paul himself, we are all belong to you, he said, and we're here to serve you. Verse 1, "This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed." Our job, he is saying, is to help you grow in your Christian walk. That's the leader's role. It's not that you're here to serve any leader. Leaders are here to serve you. Remember what we used to call politicians? Public servants. The term applies to everyone who aspires to lead in any kind of capacity. Leaders serve. That's what they do. It's why they're here, to give you an example to follow, to help you hold yourself accountable, to lead you in the direction of measurable results. That's the leader's job. And the rest? The rest is up to you. It's not for us to sit in the stands and demand the leader jump through all the right hoops. It's for us to get on the field of battle and engage ourselves in action. Sharing Jesus, right? Sharing someone your own personal witness. If we have mastered the art of being led, the fine art of being led, our leaders can guide us one by one in the path to victory, right? As we learn to draw closer in our personal relationship with Jesus, you will never hear me stop talking about your one-on-one personal relationship with Christ. That's how you grow. That's how you grow in your walk, in your life, in your relationship with God. So let's realize that God is there every moment of every day. Amen. Amen.